When you're running a business online, your website is your storefront. So you got to make sure you only put your best stuff in the window. And that's what A Course About Copy is all about. So when all is said and written, the goal here is that you'll have a site that attracts your dream clients, connects with them in a meaningful way, and makes it easy for them to realize they want to do business with you. So we got to start with the basics, and that's exactly what we're going to do. Here in lesson one, we're going to cover the foundational elements that you want to keep in mind when you're writing any page, post, or email from here on out. So we're going to start with the mindset stuff. We're going to talk about how to choose your words wisely, how to outsmart writer's block, move past perfectionism, and seek useful feedback as you go throughout the process. Then we're going to get into the specifics on how to be clear, how to be credible, how to be conversational, and how to be connected. Let's get started. No matter how enthusiastic you're feeling right now, you are going to encounter some resistance as you move through the course, write your site, and come back again and again to update your offers or even your business as it changes. That is a normal part of the creative process, which is exactly why I wanted to dedicate the first few minutes of lesson one to going through what I know to be the top four mindset-related issues that you can bump into as you're writing. So take a few minutes to go through these with me, and that way whenever the rough patches do come up, you can move through them quickly and get back to work.
So the first thing is to choose your words wisely. If thoughts become things, and I believe they do, we've got to watch what we say. So if you have found yourself saying you're not a good writer, and be honest, you probably have said something like that at some point, flip the script and instead say something like, I get better at writing every day. You've just got to give yourself some more credit and you'll rise to the occasion. So try that today and just be really mindful of the words that you're saying. In terms of outsmarting writer's block, because it's really easy to be like, oh, I'm blocked, I just can't write anything. Even when you don't feel like writing, just try some good old-fashioned discipline and force yourself to do it. So shut down all internet distractions, social media, email, shut it all down, set a timer for 10 minutes, even 5 minutes, and just write. You'll be surprised at how inspiration comes to meet you right where you are. And no, it may not be like absolute genius, but it's something, and that momentum will carry you forward. Perfectionism is a huge, huge thing that I have struggled with. And it works to our advantage in some ways, but in other ways, it just keeps us stuck and from putting stuff out there. Just remember, it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to be shared. You've got to say it with me. Really, really good is good enough. It's got to be, or you'll never make it to lesson two. You got to think about the fact that if you really believe what you're offering is of value to the people who need it, it's selfish of you not to share it. So do a great job, put a good effort in, and then just let it go. You can always come back and restyle later. Speaking of that, it's going to be really important and valuable as you move through this course to know how to seek useful feedback. So what I mean by that is feedback that actually helps you improve your copy. And so in study hall, when you ask for feedback or in life in general, three things. Number one, be specific so that people know exactly what you're asking. Not just, hey, what do you think? But is this clear? Would you know how to order? You know, do you know who it's speaking to? Ask a specific question. And then number two, provide context so that people know who is your target audience, because we may not be. And so in order to give you good feedback, we have to try to be able to put on your ideal client's shoes. And then number three, return the favor, because people are doing you a favor when they offer feedback, and that's how we keep study hall alive, is by everybody pitching in, giving more than you take. So that's a brief overview of this mindset stuff, and I'm going to continually add resources to help you out with it, but I wanted to make sure we got that out of the way first. Now we can move into the actual writing specific basics. We'll start with how to be credible.
Credibility is everything in life and in business, especially online business when you're dealing with people who have probably never met you in real life before. I encourage you to think about it in two ways. One, instant credibility. So those first impressions people get when they land on your site and they can tell, okay, she's taking her business seriously. And then credibility over time. So that's the longer term, you know, based on your body of work, your social proof and testimonials. I think it's easiest to talk about exactly how to increase your credibility in terms of the know, like, and trust factor. So that's how we're going to break it down.
The first part of know, like, and trust factor is the know factor. So here are some tips on how to achieve that. Number one, you got to put yourself out there because you can't be known for what you do if you're not out there. And I know it can be scary, but the pros outweigh the cons. The nice folks outweigh the grumps, I promise. And then once you're out there, join or start the conversation. You can start just by commenting on blogs and social media and engaging people in that way. And then you can find groups of relevant people and interact in those groups, be of service in those groups, provide helpful insights in those groups, and then even at real live in-person events. Just get connected and find at least a few people to connect with and follow up so that you're top of mind when they're thinking of recommending someone who XYZ, whatever you do. I attribute my initial boom in my business to getting out there, engaging, becoming known in Facebook groups and blog comments for what I could do. So I was modeling effective communication and also helping people with effective communication. So it was kind of a perfect storm. I became a go-to resource. People were tagging me if someone was saying, do you know somebody who could help me with their copy or with something related to writing or communication? And it was just because I put myself out there. So before you even give yourself a chance to freak out, put yourself out there so that people can have the chance to know you. Next is the like factor. This is how you make them feel. So it's all about sharing, and it's not like you're going to trick people into liking you. That feels awkward to say that. But the goal here is just to show more of who you actually are so they can decide if they do like you. So examples of what you can share would be stories, which helps us process information and concepts better. And you can build an arsenal of relevant stories. Just take notes of inspiration from your everyday life that you can then incorporate in your content to help people get to know you and learn more about your area of expertise. You can also share struggles because it's good to show that you're not perfect. It makes you relatable, and that is definitely a likable thing. You can share photos. I know I love seeing pictures of people's everyday life. It's the ultimate relatability. That's why Instagram has become so popular. Laughs, because sometimes a little distraction is a good thing. And again, that just helps us get to know you from a different perspective. That is definitely a likability issue. And then there's inspiration. And who doesn't love to be inspired? We like people who inspire us. And it's not necessarily that they're trying to inspire us, but maybe they're just sharing when they're inspired. And that's inspiring all in itself. How many times can I say inspiring? Be a light. You know, it shifts your whole perspective when you come from a place of service. And it definitely makes it easier to like you. The trust factor is huge. So here are some ways you can achieve that. Share your credentials if you've got them. If people expect to see those letters after your name and they know what they mean, then go for it. Use your judgment. It may not be relevant to what you do to include. I mean, I could put BA, MS after my name, but who really cares? You can see on my about page, I do have a couple of degrees in communication, but that's not really needed or specific to prove my expertise. But if it's relevant to your field, go ahead and share it. Be as consistent as possible without going crazy. So you don't have to be totally boring and predictable, but it does help to build trust if you're somewhat predictable in terms of your tone, what you talk about, how often you reach out and connect with people. All of that is just establishing like subconscious trust. It's like, this is what we know to expect from so-and-so. Go pro. Even just in baby steps, you absolutely don't have to come fresh out of the gates with a fancy pants site, photos, or even a logo. I didn't. But do show an effort. Show that you take yourself seriously. Keep it simple to start. Simple is sophisticated. My first site, I wanted to keep the plainest theme possible because I didn't want anything there that I didn't intentionally put there. So don't feel like just because something is plain, it's not professional. The thing is just to make sure whatever you're putting out there is an intentional reflection of you, even if it's really, really basic to start. That's totally fine. And another way, a very quick way to build trust is to showcase testimonials and logos. And we'll get more into how to get those testimonials in lesson 8. But there's huge value in social proof. Even if I didn't know you, if these nice people say they got great results from working with you, that builds trust. If you were featured on XYZ website or publication that I do know, even if I don't know you, that builds trust. So try incorporating all of these things into your site and you will find that it makes it a whole lot easier for complete strangers to come and figure out that they can trust you.
Clear beats clever every day of the week. And I love clever, I really do. But when you're ultra clear in how you communicate, you show that you respect their time, decrease confusion, increase understanding, and that is priceless. So let's break it down.
We're going to start with a clear purpose because that's the foundation of all of it. So here's what I mean by that. You want to avoid the huh effect, which is when you're reading a post or a page or listening to a speech and you're tracking and you're with them, and then all of a sudden, cue the record scratch. Huh? How'd we get here? You've got a rambler. And the person who is writing or speaking obviously started off on target and then they just kind of wandered down the tangent. You have no idea how you got there. That's the huh effect, and we want to avoid it. Here's how we can do that. Know the goal of each page or post. That's what A Course About Copy is all about. So don't worry about it. Just be aware that we've got a purpose for everything we're writing in here. So be on the lookout. Use an outline / recipe as a guide. It helps you stay on track. It helps them make sense of your message. Everybody wins, and I've got plenty of them lined up for you in the lessons to come. Clear language is probably what you think of when you think of being clear. So here's what I mean by that. Use simple words. I understand it's tempting to go fancy and think you need to broaden your vocabulary in order to sound smart or more credible, but you don't. The value is in speaking in plain language that people can understand without having to Google the meaning of your words. So use simple words. Write simple sentences. Two concise sentences are better than one. If you see a comma and, comma but, comma or, split that sucker into two, because you really, even if it's the same amount of word count, exactly the same, it just feels easier to read if it's in two shorter sentences. There's like a subconscious sense of accomplishment that we get when we're reading things quicker because they're in shorter sentences. Likewise, stick with short paragraphs, a few sentences max, or maybe even just one line, you know, which may not have been the rule in English class, but especially when you're writing online, short paragraphs are readable. Again, it's that I'm not overwhelmed. If I see just one big mama chunk of copy, I'm overwhelmed and I probably won't read it. But even if it's the exact same amount of words in shorter paragraphs, I'm much more likely to read it. This one's pretty nerdy, but once you learn what to watch for, it actually will make a huge difference in how clear your language is. So use active voice instead of passive voice. I wrote the copy is an example of active versus the copy was written. It's just a little lengthier. Even though it's the same number of words, it just sounds a little lazier. You know what I mean? Because the copy was written, the copy was being passive. Another example of how to tighten things up like this would be I've been going to salsa lessons versus I go to salsa lessons. So been going, it just takes longer to get to the point versus I go to salsa lessons, it's active. So just watch for that kind of stuff in your language and see where you can tighten it up, where you're being unnecessarily lengthy with your phrasing. Clear formatting is really important too, again, especially online. So we've talked about this with the paragraphs, but you want to avoid huge blocks of text. You want to leave room for white space. It's very pleasing to the eye and it makes things seem a whole lot less overwhelming. Use sentence case capitalization for easier readability, meaning just like you see here where use is the only thing that's capitalized. And yes, I use caps for emphasis sometimes, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But for the most part, this is basically like, don't forget to capitalize your I and do capitalize the first line of the sentence unless it's just a really, really specific to you style point that you don't want to do it. But in general, it's a lot easier for us to read something if you use sentence case where you capitalize the first word of every sentence. And break it up with relevant subheaders. So that makes it a lot easier for people who scan, and most of us are scanning just because we're reading your site while we have, you know, 10 other irons in the fire or whatever. So your subheaders can be descriptive or they can be intriguing, and we'll talk more about that in lesson 6. But for the most part, I just want you to be aware of that. It makes it a lot easier to read something if you do have subheaders to break it up. It's one thing to know what you know, and it's another thing to be able to actually teach it. So here are two quick tips on how to simplify complex concepts. Number one, use their words. So when you're teaching something, whether it's in a blog or an email or even a phone call, literally speak their language. Meet them where they are. It will make things naturally easier for them to understand. If you don't know how they describe what they're struggling with that they're going to pay you to solve, then ask them. And if you're not comfortable asking them or you don't have anyone to ask, then just kind of spy on them, you know, like go find where they're hanging out, where they're talking about these problems that relate to your solution and figure out the language that they're actually using to describe it. Another way to be a better teacher is to use stories and examples. And we've talked about this before, but we learn better when we've got some kind of story or example to tie a concept to. So a meta example for you on this concept is the title of this very course, A Course About Copy. I don't consider myself an expert in copy. I've been studying and teaching the social science of communication for over a decade now, but I know in this online business world, we're looking for copy. So that's what I went with. So I noticed whenever I ask people what their struggle is, well, it's about writing copy for their site, attracting their dream clients and bringing in the right people. It's not necessarily to become a more confident, competent communicator, which is the nerdler in me. That's how I would describe it. So use their words, meet them where they are, and then use examples to illustrate your point. That's always a helpful way to be a better teacher.
In case nobody's reminded you lately, you have permission to be yourself. Don't be afraid of being too kooky or too out there or too straightforward or literal. If that's how you'll be when you interact with your potential clients and customers, that's how you need to be online. It is literally your job to help people hear you before they hire you so that they can make the best decision on whether or not you're a good fit. It takes some practice, but it's totally worth the effort. I've got some ideas for you.
Just like I tell my little guy, this is what I tell myself and all of my clients and students as well. Use your words. So write like you actually speak, and I know sometimes that seems easier said than done, but it just takes practice, and here are some specific ideas. Use first person, not the royal we. You do not have to pretend like you are this big organization, you know, of 50 employees. If it's just you, that's totally fine, and it's relatable. Practice. Read it out loud. I mean, that's the only way you can tell if it sounds like you is literally to read it out loud. And here, does it sound like you? Do you feel like an awkward goofball when you're reading it out loud? If so, you need to come back and restyle it. So I encourage you to take what I call the BFF test, meaning you take that page or post or email that you just wrote and you read it out loud, not just to yourself, but to your best friend or your husband or your wife or your mom or your sister. Read it out loud and again, see how it feels. And if as you note things that feel uncomfortable or not as you would actually speak, literally make note of them, so that you can go back, refine, and restyle. You don't have to obsess about it being perfect, but this is just something to raise your awareness and actually start practicing so you can be looking for, does it really sound like me? Your voice evolves as you do, so don't panic. Your voice changes, your mood changes day to day, month to month, year to year. That's why the skill is to know, okay, I'm gonna read it out loud, see how it fits, see how it feels, if it's comfortable, then we're good. Otherwise, we've got some more work to do. Once you've got your words on the page and the you of the necessary moment has risen to the occasion, there are plenty of things you can do to style them up and help people hear how you would be saying them, even though they're just words on the page. My first opt-in freebie in August 2013 was called the Conversational Copy Cheat Sheet, and this was the whole premise of it, was how to style them up. So here we go. I'm going to give you a few of those. In my opinion, spelling and capitalization always matter, meaning it's worth your time to spell check, because I realize typos will slip past and that's just the nature of the beast sometimes. And even I have typos, and trust me, people love to point out my typos. And that's fine if it's truly an accident, but if it just comes across as laziness, then that dings your credibility. So make the effort when it comes to spelling and capitalization to avoid typos. I always recommend that. Everything else is debatable. Throw it out the browser window. Not all grammar rules are relevant when you're writing in a conversational person-to-person way. Specific idea is to use bold for impact. And it's like, you know, in school textbooks, old school textbooks, that big vocabulary word that they really want you to pay attention to is in bold. So the same kind of thing applies to your blog post or to your copy. If you really want someone who's just skimming through to read it, put it in bold. Use italics to make your words sound like this and not this. So see what I did there? Italics, they add an element of sound in a way to your words. Use parentheses for clever asides and clarification. So I use parentheses a lot. I'm sure you've noticed that. It's just kind of, I guess, a style of mine, but I like to use parentheses for things that maybe I would say, you know, to my sister under my breath or something like that, or if you really are just adding some information. So you can play with those too. You can totally write in fragments like this. Not every sentence has to have a subject and a verb. Use contractions or you will sound like a robot. See what I did there? So it's really easy to forget to use contractions when you're writing, but that is one of the quickest ways you can make something sound more conversational, is to go back through that blog post and make sure you're actually using contractions, because you probably would use them instead of you will. You would say you'll or cannot versus can't. It just makes you sound more like a person when they're reading it in their minds. Use periods for effect. So you might want to play with that. These are just, again, things you can play with. This is your style. So if I'm your communication stylist, which I am, I'm just encouraging you to kind of step out of your box and try a few of these things on and see how they fit and feel, including play with hashtags. It's just a fun way to sprinkle in some personality. And so however you can make those words pop on the page, or sprinkle in some you-isms and things that you actually say or funny little sayings that you use in your real life, do it. That's what makes it conversational. It's how you would speak in a conversation.
When writing for dream clients, it's absolutely important to be credible, to be clear and conversational, but it is so important to be connected. It is bizarrely easy to forget that those numbers and stats that you're tracking represent actual real life people. I want to give you some ideas on how to stay flexible and in tune with those real life people so that this is real communication taking place.
This is about so much more than just a sender and a receiver and a message and words on the page. There's a really important element of communication called tone, and that's what I want to talk about now. It's the intangible, fluffy human stuff that you've got to consider. How do you want these people to feel when they read your copy, when they're on your homepage or your about page or your blog post or even your work with me page? Think about that. What is it that you want them to feel? How do you want them to feel about you? How do you want to be perceived or received? I have a lot of clients, students, and people I've never even met who write and they're like, oh my gosh, I feel like you're just, you know, my girlfriend and we're sitting around talking about it. You just happen to know a lot about communication. And I love that. That's a great tone. For me, a friendly tone fits, but maybe you want to be, you know, a little saucy or sassy or really straightforward and very a little more formal, you know, with a little more power distance and more like I'm the expert. There's a wide range of ways that we can want to be perceived, and so the key is to just think about it, consider it. What do you really want to communicate? So yeah, the about page is to give people an introduction to your site and what they can find, but what's like that intangible takeaway that you want people to have once they've read it? That's what I want you to think about with your tone. Encouraging conversation is it. You know, I mean, we talk about being conversational. You can't get more conversational than actually starting a conversation. So one thing I want to tell you about in this topic is to write to one person. Think about the fact that when she or he, and I just got to acknowledge, I use she a lot because 99% of the folks listening to this with you are females. So I'm sorry if you're a dude. But I bet you knew that before you signed on. But write to one person, because chances are, just like you right now, you're not sitting there with a gang of people watching this video. It's just you. So if I were to call it you guys, you know, like I'm some radio announcer or something, like, hey, everybody out there, it just doesn't feel as connected. You know, you're like, oh yeah, I'm just one of 1,000, 10,000, a million other people who are listening in. But if I'm just talking to you like it's you and me, which it is, just you and me right now, then that makes me feel more comfortable having a conversation with you than if I'm thinking about all the people who could be listening to this. And it makes you feel special because you know that I am talking to you. So writing to one person is a great way to make it feel like an actual conversation. Ask a question that's easy to answer. It's an easy win. It's quick. It doesn't take a ton of thought. This is something that people ask, like, how do I get more comments on my blog? Well, did you ask a question? You know, and if you did ask a question, was it really a stumper where people were like, oh, shoot, I got to think about that. Let me come back later. And then they never do. So ask a question that's easy to answer and that'll get conversation going. Reply to folks who comment. I love Friday mornings when I send my blog post out and there are comments and I actually get to engage with real people and not just email addresses. I live for Aloha Fridays. I absolutely love that. I know I won't always be able to respond to every comment, but for now I can, and it's cool. I like to do that. This is how people get to know you, by actually engaging in conversation with you. And really think about it. How many friends have you met online that you've never actually met in real life? And you've probably talked to them, you know, or Skyped with them or something. But isn't it crazy? You really can make a real connection with people just through written words online. So encourage that conversation with people. Be interested. The most interesting people are also the most interested. If you're having a conversation with someone and they just keep asking you about yourself and what you're interested in, you're going to walk away from that conversation feeling great about them and feeling great about yourself. So be that person. Be the one who's paying attention to what your potential dream clients and customers are interested in, both in terms of your product or your service or your offer, and also just real life. That is a great way to build a connection. Stay relevant. And what I mean by that is kind of like stay flexible, you know, look for trends, keep reading and learning, always be improving your skills. So I don't mean reading and learning what everybody else in your industry is doing, because that can send you in a tailspin of comparison and that's not good. But if it's helping you be better at what you do, that's great. I've read so much and listened to so many podcasts between the first edition of A Course About Copy and now that I can incorporate and infuse those ideas that came to mind because I was always reading and learning, and it makes it a better experience for both of us. So stay up to date on the news and trends and whatever is going on. Fresh inspiration that is outside the parameters of your usual sphere will pay dividends, just like my website. Sarah, my designer and friend and stylist, she grabs inspiration from, I'm like, where did you even find that? Like, she pins things and I'm like, where did you even find that? How does that even exist? But it's like looking outside for inspiration keeps it fresh, keeps it relevant, and keeps it interesting for everybody. Listen to what your people want and need, so spy on them. You don't have to necessarily ask them directly. Maybe just spy on them. Pay attention, because they're evolving as you do. For example, once you've gone through A Course About Copy and you've written your site, that's done. And yeah, sure, you may change it and come back, you know, for reference later on as often as your offers change or whatever. But you're going to be ready for something else. Maybe we need to talk about video next, or public speaking, or just regular old conversations in your personal life. I don't know. But I'm going to be listening to what you want and need from me, because I want to see if that's a fun match for whatever I want to offer. So then you can update your offers accordingly. Once you're paying attention, as your customers and clients evolve with you, then that gives you great ideas on how to stay relevant by updating what you're putting out there for them. All right, so let's review. Lesson one, we talked about shifting your mindset. We talked about being nice to yourself, choosing your words, saying, I'm getting better at writing every day, as opposed to I stink at writing. Thoughts become things. We talked about pushing through writer's block, setting that timer, sitting down and just doing the work. We talked about getting over yourself and moving past perfectionism, because really, really good is good enough. And I gave you some ideas on how to seek really useful feedback, and I'll give you more information about that on our actual study hall page. We also talked about the importance of being credible with the know, like, and trust factor. Being clear in terms of your language, your formatting, your purpose, and then also clear teaching, which is always valuable. We talked about how to be conversational, both in terms of using your words, taking the BFF test, and reading something out loud to see if you feel like a total goonburger. And then we also talked about some style tips on how you can make the words pop off the page. And then most recently, we just talked about how to be connected and stay relevant, encouraging conversation with the people on the other side of the screen. Your homework for lesson one, and I've got it in the gorgeous workbook that we have for you. I'm so excited about this workbook. But here's some ideas, because this isn't a really tangible lesson. Like 3 through 8 are all about writing, writing, writing. But these first two lessons are more about preparing you to make sure you're ready for the writing, writing, writing. So here are some ideas on how you can apply some of these concepts that we talked about. Brainstorm 3 ways that you can help people know, like, and trust you. Pick a recent blog post or email to critique. Where could you be clearer? Use at least three of the style tips that I gave you in your next email, social media update, or blog post. Again, it's just playing, like accessorizing. Just try them on, see how they feel. And check the engagement in your blog comments and social media, even if you don't have your blog up and going yet. How can you be more connected? How can you put some of those methods to practice? Coming up next, lesson 2, wardrobe essentials. So we've talked about the basic concepts and such today, but in lesson 2, we're going to pinpoint your wardrobe essentials. These are all the pieces you need to have in place before you're ready to start writing that side of yours. So when you're ready, head on over there, and I'll see you in lesson 2.